welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest health research and news worldwide. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day today. Got some interesting articles for you here, and we have Dad on, as always. So we'll bring in you some great info today. How are you doing, Dad? What's the first thing you want to start off with?
Austin, if it was any better, I'd have to charge admission, buddy. I tell you what, I'm so excited. Life is so much fun. You know, and you say, well, how can you be so excited? How can life be so much fun? Because I'm saved. I'm a child of the kings. I'm the king's kid. And, you know, it's so cool to know that we have hope and a future and we have faith. Because I tell you what, if I was a patriot and I wasn't born again and I knew all the stuff that I know now, I would be very, very frustrated at this point. I mean, to the point of being massively frustrated. Yesterday we talked about how the entire planet is basically trying to kill the last 5 or 8% of white people that are on the planet. And everybody's kind of after us, and I'm trying to not sound paranoid. But today I got a really interesting article in. And this, you guys are going to love this. This is a black activist, and he said he's tired of arguing with white America. In the Wednesday's edition of the Washington Post, Zach Lindley, a poet, of course he is, performer, freelance writer, community organizer, and activist, said it was time to stop arguing with disingenuous white people about police brutality. Lindley said he was getting tired of listening to whites argue about issues that ultimately did not concern him. Quote, "We've spelled it out for white America 100 different ways that their beloved police forces are full of officers who are simply more volatile, fearful, and prone to harassment and abuse of power when dealing with us and costing us our lives," Lindley wrote. "We've laid it out, all the statistics, and all of our millions of personal testimonies." Now, here's what he says. If you're reading this and you have the misfortune of being an evil, rotten white person, you may notice that your mind is starting to produce some judgments, arguments, and defenses. You can let it rest. Lindley also provides a list of the most common white reaction. This time and time again, we hear the same dismissive and deflective responses of white America. There must be more to the story. If you people just do what you're told, white people get shot too. Okay, now I'm going to stop here because I can't really deal with much of this because it's about to get me nauseous a little bit. Okay, here's the thing. If I came out and I start telling black people what he's telling white people, Austin, I would be eviscerated. I have no idea why this is okay for one group, I don't care what color they are, to talk to another group like this. Number one, I realize and I have personally been harassed by police. I've told you that whole story before on the air. Austin, you have personally been harassed by police. I have a newsflash. I'm white, period. I mean, just if you look at me, I'm kind of pasty white when I get up with this German skin. And the craziest thing about it is that I don't know what to say to this nutbag. Okay, I understand that we have probably 10% of the police out there should not be police officers. And I remember a good friend of mine, an attorney, John Liguria, here in Central Florida one time, his top criminal defense attorney in the area said to me, he said, "Ted," he says, "here's the problem. We pick the people with the lowest IQs. We give them a gun. We give them a badge. We tell them to protect us." And he's right. So this black guy saying that white people don't know the police are brutal, he's like smoking dope, because I know they are. Austin knows they are. And there's a bunch of you listening right now, you know they are too. So now, are they all bad? Absolutely not. Are they primarily shooting black people? No. Just proportionally it's higher. They shoot a lot of white people too. Here's the problem with all of it. The police have turned into a police state.
Yep.
We have a bunch of people now who are coming out of the military, Austin, who are trained as soldiers, as combat soldiers, who don't understand that a police officer's responsibility is to serve and protect. They think it's to harass and intimidate and shoot if they don't listen. Just a few weeks ago, the one black guy was out on the road trying to help the autistic guy, who was a full-grown adult, to calm down, and showed him a toy, and the black officer, out of his Wabatter bike, shot the black guy in the leg. I mean, the guy should be charged, put in jail, and charged with assault for basically, attempted murder, whatever he wants to be charged with, or assault, or whatever, for a felony. And he should be stripped of his police license if he can't control himself any better than that. And we have to demilitarize the police. We've got to take their armored SUVs away. We've got to take their 50 caliber machine guns away. We've got to take all of this stuff that the military has given them away, and we have to turn them back into local community police officers and not make them think that they're Rambo in disguise. And that's the problem that we have. And so now there are places in Chicago where over 500 people have been shot this year, primarily blacks, by blacks, on black-on-black crime. And I don't hear Mr. Activist talking about that. I mean, if I said to him, I'm so tired of hearing about black people shooting black people, you guys, please stop doing that. Okay? I mean, that's what he's saying to us, but he doesn't even have any idea what he's talking about. Now, I heard another pastor say, and I completely and totally agree with this, and some of you may get mad at me about this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Basically, a preacher down here in the South he was talking about anthem disrespect. And he said that the people should be lined up who don't want to stand up for the anthem and basically have the military shoot at them a little bit, who are the ones that they're disrespecting when they don't stand up. Now, I'm going to basically disagree with that. That's a pretty rough statement to say. And basically the stadium erupted in applause when the pastor said the players who sit for anthems should be lined up and shot. This is an Alabama pastor who caused a controversy at a local high school football game, saying if players don't stand for the U.S. national anthem, they should be shot. His remarks come in the wake of U.S. sports stars' protests against police brutality. Pastor, this is, if you want to look it up, Pastor Alan Joyner made the remarks as he addressed a crowd at Friday night football game at McKinsey High School in Butler County. Now, here's what he doesn't understand, and this is a concept that seems to have eluded this pastor. The military and the boys who died, the reason these boys have died, and the reason that we have the Constitution is so that people can sit down during the national anthem if they want to. Is it highly disrespectful? Yes. Is it just absolutely just awful behavior and rude? Yes. Is it something they should be shot for? Absolutely not. The same soldiers they are disrespecting by doing that are the same soldiers who died so they could sit down during the national anthem as a protest. So guys, we can't get into that. Everybody needs to be shot if you don't honor the flag. Everybody needs to be shot if you don't do what you're supposed to do. We can't be like that. We are not the Stasi. We are not Stalin. This is not Russia. This is not East Germany. This is not what we have in the United States. So when people say stuff like this, and I'm sure he was perhaps joking, I hope he was, the reality is the entire stadium applauded. Now, that's not good, because guys, we have freedom of speech. We have the right not to honor our government. And quite frankly, if it wasn't for the men and the women who basically have died in this country and all the patriots that we've had, you know, I would have a very difficult time in saying anything good about the country at this point because of the leadership and the complete usurping of the federal government by the shadow government that we talked about in yesterday's show. So that's the point I'm trying to make about all this, Austin, is those soldiers died so those black athletes could sit and disrespect the national anthem. That's a fact. Now, do I like it? Absolutely not. Should they do it? Absolutely not. I personally think if they're making $20, $30, $40, $50, $100 million, whatever they're making, and they can make that somewhere else in a country that can be better than that, then go to the other country. Just get on out. That's how I feel. I had a pastor say one time to me, he goes, Ted, I always tell everybody from the pulpit, don't expect to find the perfect church here, because as soon as you get here, it won't be perfect, because none of us are perfect either. So if you're looking for a perfect church, go somewhere else. Guys, if you're looking for a perfect country, why don't you go back to Africa? Why don't you go back to Europe? Why don't you go back to New Zealand? Why don't you go back to wherever your relatives came from whenever they were born 300 or 400 years ago, or whatever your ancestry is, and try to make that country perfect? It's like the Muslims coming over here, Austin, and trying to force Sharia law on us. I mean, it's complete nonsense. If they don't like the hellhole they came from, why are they trying to turn this into a hellhole when they come here now? So guys, if you don't like the country, if you don't want to honor the troops that have died for this country, and you don't want to show respect, just go someplace where you can respect the country. Go someplace else where you can get your 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 or $50 million a year salary. That's my take on that, Austin. What do you think?
No, I completely agree with you. Said it about as well as I could. I mean, is it disrespectful? Absolutely. It's unbelievably disrespectful to everybody in this country, and including the military that have fought and died. But again, it is the First Amendment right to be able to basically peacefully protest. They are clearly peacefully protesting. That's how they choose guys either do that or they go out in the streets like Black Lives Matter and start throwing fireworks and rocks and act like a complete little bunch of just lowlifes to protest in a different manner. You know, I'd rather see them peacefully protest and take a knee and not stand up for the national anthem. And again, like you said, is it extremely disrespectful? Is it offensive to me? Yes, by all means it is. I don't like it at all, and I would never act in that manner whatsoever. But again, it is their First Amendment right, and if we start going down that very, very slippery slope of saying, well, if you don't do this to the government, if you don't put your hand over your heart, if you don't say yes, sir, if you don't respect them on this level, then we need to arrest you, we need to shoot you, we need to lynch you, that's where that starts going, and that's exactly the same way you just mentioned of the SS and the Stasi. If you don't agree with us, if you disrespect us, if you look at us in a manner that we don't appreciate, we just shoot you. That's really, really, really nasty area to be, and there's absolutely no reason to allow this country to fall any further under that tyrannical grip that we've seen in so many other countries. And that's where that goes, if that pastor was being serious. That's the only direction it goes. So, no, I don't agree with him at all.
Okay. Here's another article. This is from I'm trying to find the writer on this. It doesn't say. And it said, basically, the theme of the article is the trail of dead bodies leading to Obama's White House is worse than Hillary's. I find this interesting. It goes, by now you've probably already heard that on Sunday, September 11th, while attending a memorial service for 9/11 victims, something about her health caused Hillary to collapse. By the looks of the first video, it looked as though she'd completely collapsed and basically was dragged into the car. Well played Team Hillary, but even a handful of voters, you did have fool that Hillary was in good health, are no longer convinced after the video above. It's been a long election season up to this point. Thus far, voters have overlooked Hillary's repeated lies about Benghazi and her repeated lies about her private email server, even on national TV. At this point, seemingly the only thing that has not been uncovered from the whole investigation is a single true statement made by Hillary. Still, she's never made a true statement. Still, voters maintain their Hillary support and they look away. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. It's not that the voters for Hillary don't know that she's crooked, okay, and that she's a thief and she's a grifter. It's not they don't know that. It's that they know that and they don't care. That's the problem that I have. Like the issue of Benghazi or anything else related to Clinton's integrity, for that matter, voters were willing to overlook the fact that Hillary stole the Democratic nominee from Bernie Sanders with help from the inside of the DNC. Voters overlooked the number of former Clinton associates turned adversaries that have died in mysterious accidents. That's over 100 dead now. Not even a former congresswoman talked about Hillary's murderous pact to turn Hillary's voters, because basically the congresswoman actually talked about this. I'll talk, but give her a name in a second. Our own CIA has linked Clinton's largest campaign donor, George Soros, to overseas terrorist bombings, and that has had no effect on voters. And so they go into detail about this. So now there's some questions about per candidacy. Now they're saying Barack Obama is even worse as far as the dead bodies following him. They go, not completely confirmed, Michael Hastings, pending Edward Snowden, Mama Lois Anderson, Lieutenant Christopher Rabi, and Bradley Atwell, Muhammad. They go list after name after name after name of these people that have opposed Obama at a national level and have been found dead. Now, I personally don't believe that direct involvement of either of these candidates, either Hillary or Barack Obama, can be linked to all of these deaths. I don't believe that. I believe the shadow government is orchestrating most of this, and the shadow government is the one responsible for most of this. I personally believe that the shadow government is going around making sure that they get what they want, and if anybody has material evidence where they can appear in a court of law. See, that's why people like me and Alex Jones and Hagmans and Hodges have gotten away with the things that we've done. Because we don't have material evidence. We haven't been involved with a murder, and now we can go testify of what they've done. This is what happens to all these people that have been dying. They're involved with computer fraud, and they do something for them, for the DNC, or for the shadow government. Now they can testify, now they die. It's the same thing that happened with Ambassador Stevens. He basically knew too much, he had to go. Same thing happened with the SEALs Team 6, they had to go. All of these things that are happening, and all these people that are dying, because they have personal, physical testimony. It's like when Fred Bell died. He personally worked on Star Wars. He personally blew the cover on Star Wars. He personally exposed the space-based weapons platforms on Jesse Ventura's show and was dead a few days later. Even Jesse asked him, aren't you scared they're going to kill you? And he says, no. Every once in a while, their systems break down, and they come to me, and I have to fix them. So now, basically, he knows, I guess he's sitting up in heaven, hopefully saved, that you know he didn't have to be consulted any longer as far as space-based weaponry. So the reality is when you have that personal knowledge, and you've been there, and you've been involved in it, and you can testify against these people in a court of law, that's when you really have your life in danger. When you're fixing to release a huge article about them like they were going to do in Rolling Stone magazine, and all of a sudden, boom, done, dead, gone. And so that's why people don't understand, like when Hastings got killed. When you start blowing the whistle and you start naming names, it really, really ends up being a major mess for you and a very high probability that these guys are going to come after you. It really does. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right, because when you start having that physical evidence or you physically have seen something that you're going to testify under oath in court, that's, in my opinion, when a lot of these guys start getting real squirrely about this stuff and they want to make you disappear. I mean, we bring up a lot of stuff. We know it's the truth. We talk about the truth. We have evidence it's the truth, but we don't actually have, you know, it's essentially hearsay if it went to court. There's not anything we can physically prove, and that's one of the reasons why I think a lot of us have been able to get away with so much. And the fact is, too, if all of us alternative underground media guys all of a sudden start disappearing as soon as we start talking about the same thing, it's going to be pretty clear-cut evidence to just about anybody that's awake that obviously this is not a game anymore and the end is very near, because once they start rounding up dissidents, anybody that speaks negative about the government, you can pretty much be rest assured that will be the end of the United States of America at that point.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, also, it's also interesting. Let me read you this. I was going to explain to this. This is interesting. In an interview with Dr. Cynthia McKinney, the doctor explains that the globalists are doing everything imaginable to make Trump so unpalatable that people will feel they have no choice but to cast their vote for Hillary. Then she goes on to say, under no circumstances should any thinking voter vote for Clinton. Throughout the entire interview, Dr. McKinney reveals Hillary's murderous past with Benghazi and how the globalists will attempt to fuel race wars. There we go. I just read the first article this morning. To further divide America. Dr. McKinney further warns that Hillary Clinton is a type of woman that Dr. Trepsa refers to as beware of the woman of the hegemon. These women, explains McKinney, have no genuine political party or loyalty. The ideology of these women spans the entire political spectrum because they have only an ideology based on themselves, and their practices are often far worse than any single man. Quote, in Queen of Chaos, Johnston issues a Herculean call for peace. Similarly, in another work, Tripsa warns us to beware of women whose policy positions are warlike as any man's. So they're warning you about this. A former congresswoman talking about President Clinton, basically talking about her body count. Or President Clinton has a Freudian slip that God, I hope it doesn't happen. I reversed that. I didn't say that. Okay. But the reality is they're warning not to put her in because she's basically going to just leave a trail of bodies everywhere she goes. She's already done that with Egypt. She's already done it with Libya. She's already done it with Syria. I mean, this lady is bad, bad news, Austin. And now we have people coming on national talk shows and warning us, and they know what's going on. What's your next story?
Yeah, this is interesting. Now, just to bring up something from Apple, the new Apple wireless headphones that are coming out now are extremely popular. They're basically two earbud pieces that go on each side of your ear, completely wireless and unconnected from one another physically. They connect. The issue that we're having, though, that I started to do some research on them, is they communicate via Bluetooth directly with the right earbud, which sends a separate Bluetooth signal to the left earbud. This means the radiation is carrying the signal directly through your brain. Now, understand this, guys. Most of the time when you have the Bluetooth single ear pieces that are connected to your cell phone, it is emitting Bluetooth radiation. However, it's directing it towards your phone. It's on the side of your head, which is definitely not good either. But this is a whole other level, because this is actually creating a signal between the left earbud to the right earbud, signaling the Bluetooth right through the middle of your brain. According to Apple, all the Bluetooth devices do emit radio frequency radiation within the guidelines set by the FCC, supposedly. But according to Joel Muscat of UC Berkeley School of Public Health, more than 200 scientists who have studied the effects of electromagnetic fields on the body have gone on criticizing these guidelines as far too lenient. He says they're playing with fire here. You're putting a microwave-emitting device next to your brain and sending the signal to the other side of your brain. Traditionally, scientists have claimed that RFRs do not carry enough energy to cause cellular or DNA damage, in contrast to the more higher-energy ionizing radiation such as X-rays. Yet, ionizing or not, a large body of researchers are continuing to show negative health effects in humans and other animals exposed to RFR. This has been observed over several decades. He states on here, it's like we keep rediscovering that Bluetooth is harmful and trying to forget it because we don't know how to handle it from a policy standpoint. For example, RFRs have been shown to degrade the blood-brain barrier, thereby allowing more toxins to pass through the brain. This is a huge concern with placing RFR transmitters directly next to the brain. He goes on to say, although we don't know the long-term risk from using Bluetooth devices, why would anyone insert a microwave-emitting device into your ear next to your brain when there are safer ways to use a cell phone? Essentially, I recommend using corded headsets or hands-free use of cell phones like in vehicles, not wireless earbuds, especially those because they transmit RFR signals through the brain, not just on the outside of it. So what do you think about this, Dad? I mean, is this something that we're going too far with this Bluetooth now? I mean, we're going to see this stuff start popping up in the next 10, 20 years, like when you were talking about in the 70s and 80s with a lot of this stuff? Or, I mean, do you think we're going to figure out a way to kind of skate around it?
No, you're not going to get away from the microwaves. And the problem with all of this is that it causes cellular damage. And they now know that cell phone usage causes brain cancer. I mean, they've known that for years. And I've warned people to turn the Wi-Fi routers off at night.
Oh, yeah.
I've warned people basically not to use the Bluetooth headsets. I've warned people not to hold the cell phone next to their ear. I mean, I don't know what else I can do besides that. I mean, it causes radiation and genetic damage, especially with young girls when they're holding it over their ovaries for extended periods of time, hours and hours and hours every day. So, yes, the cranial cavity of a child will heat up extremely quickly when you hold a telephone next to the ear. And, I mean, I know that I remember I've used my speakerphone many, many times, and I've laid the phone down before we had the interface with the telephones with the dash and with the stereo in the automobile, and I've laid the telephone on the dash, and I've talked to it with the speaker going down the road, and then I pick up the phone after I've been on the phone for 40 minutes or so, and it's so hot that it'll burn your hand. Now, the reason it did that and will do that still when you use it for an extended period of time is that microwave energy actually starts cooking the cell phone because it's a microwave. Remember, microwaves cook metal. You know, that's why you don't put metal into a microwave oven. And so it'll do the same thing to your head. So it doesn't mean that you're going to have immediate damage if you hold it to your head for 1 or 2 minutes a day or whatever. I don't recommend doing it at all. I recommend using the speakerphone or the speaker in your automobile, which is a lot safer than trying to hold it or text anyhow. But the reality is, guys, I wouldn't use anything that transmitted a signal through my brain. I mean, that doesn't make any sense because, you know, you're going 6 to 8 inches all the way through your head. And I mean, it's got to be pretty powerful to be able to do that, and all that gray matter, and there's going to be getting cooked the whole time it's doing it because it's a microwave beam. Wow. Here's another story. Angela Merkel to send 650 troops to NATO mission in the Mediterranean. Listen to this. It's going to blow your mind because she's the one who started this whole mess. A new NATO initiative hopes to stop the jihad militants in the Mediterranean Sea. According to the news magazine Der Spiegel, the German military is pitching in to help. The planned mission will be tasked with the surveillance of the Mediterranean Sea, but will also have powers to search vessels suspected of harboring terrorists belonging to groups such as the self-styled Islamic State. Now, how are they going to possibly know that? Operation Sea Guardian also hopes to curb human trafficking and arms smugglers while assisting the European Union borders security Frontex. Germany is expected to join the NATO operation and contribute up to 650 German soldiers to the international mission in the Mediterranean waters, according to the German magazine. The government will discuss the plan in special session on September the 14th. The ruling coalition claims to present a plan to Parliament for approval shortly thereafter, presumably later in September. The deployment is regarded as part of a broader shift in Germany to expand its military role in Europe and NATO. Defense Minister Ursula von der Leyen has been hoping to update Germany's military equipment and boost troop levels following the years of decline. Okay. I don't even know what to say about this. Germany and Angela Merkel, it's not Germany, it's Angela Merkel, has basically unilaterally signed in their version of what would be called an executive order to bring in millions of these migrants and jihadists into Germany, into Europe. And now the NATO organization wants to go in and try to inspect these people coming into the country to determine if they're jihadists. What do you think they're going to have? A little stamp on their forehead says, I'm a jihadist? You think they're going to have a little badge on their chest that says, I'm a jihadist? Little terrorist badge, little terrorist hat, little terrorist tattoo. How do you think you're planning on figuring out these guys are terrorists? They're going to say, I'm not a terrorist, you know. I'm good. I'm a good person. That's what they're going to say. I mean, what are you going to do? Go take them back and interrogate all of them? That's the problem we have in this country, the problem they already have in Europe. These guys come in with everybody else. They all look alike. I hate to be stereotypical like that, but it's like that. I mean, they look alike. They're either Arab descended, they're Muslim, or they're black and they're Muslim, and they come over to the country, and they all basically have the same skin color and hair color. So you basically have an Arab-looking person or African Muslim. They're coming into the country, and there's no way to differentiate between the good ones and the bad ones. That's why Trump said, and until we can figure out how to fix this and differentiate who these people are, we don't need to bring any of these people over here. And he's absolutely right. What do you think, Oz?
No, he's 100% right about that. We've talked about that so many times, and I think a lot of the American population is finally starting to understand that it's just not something that's conducive to the overall health of America anymore. And right now, as selfish as that sounds, our primary goal needs to be getting America back to where it needs to be. It needs to be getting America back right with God. It needs to be restoring the constitutional rights to the American citizen. It needs to be doing all these things that are good for America. And a lot of people say, well, that's selfish. You don't think about anybody else. This and that. Listen, guys, thinking about America is thinking about everybody else. There's over 330 million people in this country, and we all need to stick together and work together to help everyone out. We can't be focused on trying to fix all these other countries that have literally been in chaos for thousands of years and have no will, want, or desire to change. They simply want to come here, get free handouts, and implement their law, their ideas, their debauchery on the American population, just like they've done in Germany now. I don't want any part of it. But on a completely different topic now, this is interesting. I wanted to bring up today the campaign to prevent cannabis legalization and medical cannabis in Arizona just completely took a whole nother level of, I don't even know how to put this, realizing that there's so much hypocrisy and the pharmaceutical companies now. The drug company Insys, INSYS, just made a $500,000 donation to the Arizona's for Republic drug policy, according to information posted by the Arizona Secretary of State. This revelation has lent massive support to longstanding claims by legalization proponents that drug companies view cannabis as a source of competition for their more addictive, dangerous, expensive products. J.P. Hollowoaks said they are now funding their campaign with profits from the sale of opioids and maybe even the improper sale of them. We hope that every Arizona understands what this new drug policy is. The federal government continues to ban marijuana as Schedule I drug with no accepted medical use, along with kratom now as well. And what's interesting about this now, it's a $500,000 donation. This isn't a $5,000 or $10,000 donation. It's a $500,000 donation. And what's so interesting about this from Insys, what's so particular about this and notable is that the company only markets one product, Subsys, which is a sublingual spray of a synthetic opioid, fentanyl. Everybody knows what fentanyl is. It's stronger than heroin, it's super addictive, and it's very easy to overdose on. This is the only compound that these guys market, and they just donated $500,000 to help prevent the legalization of cannabis in Arizona. Does that seem odd to anybody else but me, Dad?
No, you're absolutely right. Now, again, I'm going to make another point. I don't care if cannabis is regulated for medical usages. I just don't want it being open like it is in Colorado, where everybody can just go buy it. I don't think that's right. And I think a lot of kids are going to be really getting hooked on it at a very, very young age by doing that. I know years ago we were over in, I guess it was in, where was that town over there? It was in Denmark. Was it Copenhagen? It wasn't Copenhagen. It was
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. And we were there, and I remember they're just selling pot openly on the streets, and every morning they've got to send out the methadone wagon to give everybody their methadone tablets and shots or whatever they're doing over there with that. And they have to pick up all the needles everywhere because it's bad for tourists because of the needles. And they pass out fresh needles to people over there. And they said that you can't even swim in the canals anymore because they're full of needles. I mean, is that where we want to go with this? You got these hashish parties on the sidewalks over there. I mean, it's all legal. And people just sitting around stoned all the time. Now, does everybody get stoned all the time? No. But the people that are getting stoned, and the government's having to subsidize their drug use. And that's what's going to happen in this country, too, if we start doing that. And again, the medical cartel doesn't want any drugs being given to people that aren't going to be regulated by them so they can't make money on it, number one. Number two, the CIA doesn't want other compounds coming into the country that aren't going to be going through them that are illegal, like heroin, because they're making too much money from their black ops and they're bringing their opium in from Afghanistan, which is bringing in $1 trillion worth now into the United States. So that's what's going on here. So you have this big fight of this Khazarian mafia, this Rothschild mafia, this Luciferian order, you know, this the group of people that, you know, have run the planet for a very long time now, and they want to continue to control the drugs. That's why the book of Revelation is very clear that those who deal in the drugs are going to be ending up in hell because of what they do to the human body and to the mind. They're very debilitating for everybody. But now here on another topic, this is an interesting article because I saw this a few months back in another spot. We reported on it. Now more and more people are posting it. And it says, maybe you aren't gluten intolerant. Maybe you're just poison intolerant. And it goes back. It says, standard wheat harvest protocol in the United States is to drench the wheat fields with Roundup several days before the combined harvesters work through the fields, as withered dead wheat plants are less taxing on the farm equipment and allows for an earlier, easier, and bigger harvest. Now, this is interesting. According to Dr. Stephanie Sepp of MIT, who has studied the issue in depth, who I recently saw present the subject at a nutritional conference in Indianapolis, desiccating non-organic wheat crops with glyphosate just before the harvest came into vogue in the 1990s, with the result that most of the non-organic wheat in the U.S. is now contaminated with glyphosate. Seth explains that when you expose wheat to a toxic chemical like glyphosate, it actually releases more seeds, resulting in a slightly greater yield. It goes to seed as it dies, basically as its last gasp, it releases seed. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture of 2012, 99% of durum wheat, 97% of spring wheat, 61% of winter wheat has been doused with Roundup. Those are huge numbers. I mean, think about that for a second. 99% of the durum wheat. How horrifying is it that they douse this stuff for human consumption with the most toxic, prevalent herbicide around, and herbicides have been linked to all sorts of problems and cancers just days before the harvest. See, this is the biggest problem that we have, so you need to be getting organic einkorn wheat. It's a whole lot better. Glyphosate causes breast cancer via estrogen receptors. Plus, it also does something else, and this is another concept that we've never really talked about. It messes up the gut bacteria because of the pathways in the gut bacteria, because some of the bacteria in the body can't process glyphosate, and that's what Monsanto has always said, well, you can't process it. But our gut bacteria, which manufactures specific nutrients and compounds that our body needs, can't process those compounds through their pathways, through their metabolic pathways, because they absorb the glyphosate in the gut, causing all types of health problems because of that. So it's like a step around. They're saying it doesn't affect human beings because of the pathway, but it's in the pathway of the gut bacteria, and folks don't realize that. That's why it's so poisonous for your gut. That's why you're having all these people with all these digestive disorders, because over 90% of the wheat, that means like 9 out of 10 loaves of bread, if it's not organic on the shelf, contains glyphosate. I got to pass on that. What do you think, Oz?
That's horrible. And that is one of the biggest things I've talked to people about. You know, wheat intolerance and issues like that can be an issue, absolutely. But the truth about it is, guys, we've been eating wheat for thousands of years. Granted, I'm sure people have some allergies. Some people have intolerance to them. But it's so interesting to me that we've seen the massive, massive usage of glyphosate explode in the last 10 to 15 years. At the same time, we've seen these so-called wheat and gluten intolerances, along with all these other digestive issues like Crohn's disease, leaky gut, and all these these other issues that are literally exploding on the market as far as the hospitals. I see this all the time in the emails, in the phone calls we get. Digestive issues and colon health are two of the biggest things we deal with. Probably blood sugar and blood pressure are the next ones that I deal with. And those are really easy to fix. The leaky gut and all that can also be easy to fix, but you have to change your diet. That's why I pretty much tell people now, regardless if you do have a wheat intolerance, you may or may not, I usually tell you to cut out on the wheat in general. Unless you're eating completely certified, non-GMO, guaranteed organic wheat, there's not really any need to touch it, because as Dad was just saying, a lot of this stuff now, and as we've seen before in some of the tests, they're showing full-blown certified organic wheat is still contaminated with glyphosate. That's an issue. That's a significant issue. And so, and the way I always tell people too, I don't like to get my carbohydrates from wheat source. I found just, and this is me personally, I find that I stick more body fat on my system with wheat bread products. I usually like to get my carbohydrates either from sweet potatoes or from organic brown rice, preferably sweet potatoes most of the time. You utilize it as energy better, in my opinion, better as energy as far as your workouts. It sticks with you longer, and it also has less affinity to store as body fat. Now, other people may argue with me that and say that's not the same, but I've done a lot of different types of foods and diets and everything else in the past as far as with bodybuilding, and I've worked with a lot of people in changing their diet just in losing weight and in bodybuilding, and Dad's done the same, and he has pretty much the same perception as I do on it. Wheat, bread products, if you're trying to stay in good shape, if you're trying to stay lean, if you're trying to really protect overall intestinal colon health, it's one of those things that I usually recommend people stay away from, regardless if you can even get organic ones. What do you think about that, Dad? Do you think I'm right, or you think it's better? You know, I mean, what's your take on that?
Bread makes me fat, period.
There you go.
I can't say it any more clear than that. Bread just makes me fat. And I started eating bread, I blew up, man. I blew up, go up. I mean, it's ridiculous. I tell people, you want to get fat, eat bread. If you want to get really fat, eat pizza. That's cheese and
bread. Oh, yeah.
Then you really blow up. I remember years ago, and I'm not going to mention any names, but we had a lady come over to the house, and she's like 23 years old, and she was suffering with severe Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, celiac disease, everything, right? And she's like 23 years old, had been on all these medications for like 8 years, and she was 15 years old. This is probably two, three years ago. And so this is about the time they started spraying all this wheat, you know, with all this glyphosate. You know, it's been 10, 15, 16 years ago now. And she's been dealing with this for 8 years. And she had all these health problems. And I told her, I said, well, you know, I don't mean this bad, and forgive me, because sometimes I chuckle about stuff, and it's not because I think it's funny. It's because I think it's ironic, because I think it's either stupid, ironic, or it shouldn't be that way. And it's kind of like a safety mechanism with me when I do that, because it's like, I'm not going to cry about it, so I got to just laugh about it, because it releases it from me, so I don't have to think about it anymore. And I'm like, well, that's another one of those things you just have to put into the mystery box, because that's one of the things that's so stupid that there's no way to try to figure it out. And so I kind of chuckled when she told me that. She goes, well, why are you laughing? And I said, well, it's so easy to fix. I said, all you've got to do is basically go on, you know, the bentonite and the GHI cleanse, and stop eating wheat products, and make sure you get glyphosate out of your diet, and start eating clean, and this will go away. I mean, almost immediately. She goes, well, I'm in excruciating pain almost all the time, and I'm taking all these meds for this, and it's affecting my relationships, everything. I can't work. I can't do this. I can't do that. 23 years old. And I said, well, I mean, how long do you want to have this problem? She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, some people don't want to get rid of their problem because it's their pet problem. And what ends up happening is it's like a little friend they get to talk about all the time, and they get to keep it around, and it's their excuse because they're the victim. They've got this intestinal disorder, and so it's something they get to share with other people all the time. And so I kind of laughed, and I said, you know what I mean? She goes, well, kind of. And I said, well, here's the thing. I said, if we don't want to get better, changing our diet's not going to help. She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I said, some people want to play a 30 or 40-minute organ recital every time you ask them how they're doing, and they want to tell you how bad they feel. And if you get them healthy, or if they got to start making healthier choices, they don't get to play the organ recital anymore. And so they don't really want to get better. And what they'll do is they'll intentionally sabotage themselves and eat things they shouldn't eat, do things they shouldn't do to stay sick. Now, guys, I just told you a whole bunch of stuff right there that's, from a psychological standpoint, really, really some weird stuff, but that's all very true. Some people would rather die than change their diet. Some people would rather die than stop smoking. Some people would rather die than stop drinking alcohol. Some people would rather die than stop eating their 10,000 calories every day. Okay? Yep. People get addicted to food, and they get addicted to certain ways of eating and eating patterns. And from a psychological standpoint, it becomes a dopamine trigger, and it allows them gratification every time they take a mouthful of this food, which allows them basically to feel good about themselves, even though everybody else is telling them they shouldn't do it. You see it all the time with drug addicts. They do the same thing. Food can be the same thing. White sugar can be as addictive as cocaine. And wheat products can also be addictive. And so we got her on a program. In fact, I gave her some stuff. I gave her some of the liquid bentonite to use. This best, basically a food-grade product that helps to coat the intestinal tract and let it heal. And she called me back, and her boyfriend called me back like 2 days later and said, "What do you give, you know, my fiance? I cannot believe how much better she feels." And we said, "Well, this is not enough. This is just a patch." I said, "You got to start on the GHI cleanse. You got to start on the anti-inflammatory compounds. You got to start on a whole protocol, and you got to start eating clean and drinking the right water." Well, they came in the office for a few months, 8 or 9 months. She ended up getting married to him, but they weren't married yet. And then basically as soon as they got married, she got off the protocol and now is having the same problems again. Now, you say, why did that happen? Well, I don't know. I mean, I can give it to you from a psychological standpoint. Her behavioral patterns are so based upon her, you know, wanting to get that dopamine trigger and maybe perhaps wanting to have that pity party every time she got to talk about it, that was a stronger pull than having a good marriage and being healthy. I don't know. I don't really know. I don't understand why people do stuff like that. I don't really understand why people kill themselves with their diets and with their cigarettes and with their alcohol, but I've seen it my whole life. So if I could answer that question, I guess I'd be writing a book on that next. I can't answer that question, nor can I help somebody who doesn't want to. And so I always tell folks, you got to one-on-one. That's why we have people all the time, happens to be all the time, they'll send me an email and they'll say, "I've got a cousin who's got an uncle, who's got a friend, who's got a son, whose brother needs to be on your program, and I want you to talk to them." And I'm like, "No." Now, I'm not making this stuff up. Now, it may not be that extreme. Usually it's a friend or a brother's friend or something like that. You know, see the third, fourth party removed, sometimes second party removed. And my response is always this: I don't do that. I don't talk to people down the chain who don't have any idea who I am, because number one, it's a waste of time. They might as well be talking to some other total stranger. I have no credibility with them. So why am I going to try to convince them of trying to eat healthy? So it's just interesting to me that people would rather die than change their diets. They would rather be sick than be healthy. They would rather be out of shape than in shape. They'd rather be on drugs than not drugs. It blows my mind, because the whole thing about this is that you've got to learn to be disciplined. A disciple is a root word of discipline. Disciple means you're disciplined. You do what you're supposed to do to the best of your ability. Not because you feel as though it's something that you have to do, it's because it's something that you want to do. Remember, the Bible says, when you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the fruit of the land. It doesn't just say when you're obedient, it says when you're willing, when you want to do it. You've got to want to. And that's why I always tell folks, like right now we're running this special with our Maximum Energy program. It's free with any $300 order. And it takes you through like an 8-CD series, like a home study course, on how to get the want to going. It's like back in the old days when I used to be on the platform with Zig Ziglar, and he used to do these really good audio tapes and CDs on attitude and motivation and goal setting. And I used to listen to them all the time when I first started Health Masters back in the early 80s, because I needed to stay focused and maintain a proper attitude about what I was doing, because it's easy to allow the world to get you down. It's easy to listen to the negative news and get down. But you've got to remember something, guys. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. And if I can rejoice and be glad in it and feel a whole lot better because I'm taking my methylated B vitamins, or I'm taking my multiple vitamins, or because I'm taking vitamin C and iodine and D3 and I stay healthy all of the time, or because I can run around the block without passing out, or because I can work out in the gym 6 days a week without passing out, because I can do all of these things, it makes life easier. Now, I mean that very sincerely. It just makes it easier. It's one of those little things that you can check off, like I don't have to worry about walking up a set of stairs without falling down on my face and passing out. Look at Hillary. Look at Hillary. Perfect example. Has to lean against the curb against the stanchion at the curb, then falls going to the curb. How awful is that? Now, I know she has Parkinson's disease, or I believe that she does, and most most physicians feel that she does now also. But I'm not belittling anybody with Parkinson's disease, because it's a horrible, horrible disease. But what I am saying is this: if there was a way to avoid a disease, not necessarily Parkinson's, but any disease, doesn't it make sense to avoid it than having to wait to be cured by it, by a drug or dietary change at that point, or by a miracle? Think through what I just said. Doesn't it make sense to avoid it and to prevent it than it is to try to cure it? That's why I always tell people, it's a lot easier to prevent cancer or prevent heart disease or prevent diabetes or prevent obesity than it is to get rid of any of those. It's just easier. And see, that's what I've spent my whole life doing, working out 6 days a week, trying to eat as clean as I can. If I get up a couple pounds too heavy, more than I need to be, I lose the weight back down as quick as I can. I don't allow myself to balloon up. You know. How would I look if I walked out on the platform when I was doing the success seminar, I was talking about health, and I waddled out there at 450, 450, 500 pounds? Oh, you got to listen to me, do what I do, you look like me. Well, you know, you guys would all think I was insane, okay? What is wrong with this guy? Why does he practice what he preaches? See, that's the thing. Always remember something. Our talks a lot louder than our talks. Our walk talks more than our talks. And that's what we got to make people understand, is that if you're walking it and talking it, you better be living it. So guys, that's the thing with me. I got up this morning, 4:45, started working on today's show, and I realized it was one of those things I had to get prepped up for today. We put a lot of time in these shows every day because we know you guys are counting on us for the real news. And quite frankly, a lot of stuff we tell you, it's not even in the alternative news for until another week later. Have you noticed that too, Austin?
Oh, yeah.
The alternative study pick it up until a week later. So we're here at the cutting edge of this thing, doing all of this research, always giving you guys a heads up and a leg up and a hand up, and just saying, hey, guys, let's stay in this thing together. And, guys, thank you for your support. We had some listeners come by the office today to say hi. They were really, really nice. Their name's Cisco. They were really, really wonderful. Ben and his wife. So thank them for coming by today. We got to spend some time with them. And guys, thank you when you're in the area. You come by and say hi to us. And thank you for supporting Health Masters and supporting us. We appreciate you, because we want to be part of your solution and not part of this problem. And I guarantee you one thing, I'm not going to be down. I'm not going to be negative, because this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Amen, Austin. What do you want to say? What do you want to say, bud?
Oh, absolutely. One article I wanted to address now is the FDA now is basically proposing that manufacturers in the infant formula industry actually start doing research on their products before they're making health claims about the ingredients. Now, I generally am not a huge fan of the FDA and a lot of stuff they try and put on natural supplements. However, with the baby formula, the industry that has really exploded in the last 10 to 15 years now, with more of the almost looking down upon women that breastfeed, which is that's what our entire media has done now. That's what a lot of this just ideology from this feminism now is, you don't breastfeed. That's, you just don't do that, even though that is the healthiest, most natural form of feeding your child as you can possibly do, as long as you're able to do so. And I didn't think much about it until I started, obviously, was getting ready to have Hunter. And I told you, we talked about on the show months ago, about this sample pack, this care pack. I don't even know who sent it to us. It was from a company, I guess, that Atlanta signed up with or something. And they sent us these free infant formulas. And I pull out the one, and the first ingredient on it is corn syrup solids. That's the first ingredient in this infant formula. So what's going on now is these companies now are starting to put so much crap, excuse my language on that, so much garbage, so much nasty filler in here, and then turning around and claiming, oh, it does this, it fixes allergies, it helps with colic, it helps with digestion, that they're actually wanting these guys to start doing some research on the ingredients. They said the agency has established a specific set of scientific standards it would like the infant formula industry to meet before recommending their products as a treatment or preventative measure. The FDA's proposal will be adopted pending a 60-day comment period. They said this, and this is only the part that I'm not sure about this. They said this mark moves the first time the FDA has proposed a standard, even a voluntary one as such, for companies making health claims about specific food. So I don't know if the FDA is trying to use this to worm their way in about natural supplements. Obviously, you guys know a lot of stuff we can't claim with natural supplements. But they do say, the FDA came out and says, because infancy is a vulnerable period with critical growth and development occurring, more precautions should be taken to ensure the safety of all modifications to any infant formula, even if the purpose of the modification is to more closely mirror the composition and health benefits of human milk. All the ingredients need to be examined. Health claims on infant formula products have increased massively and have grown more creative in the last 10 years. Research published in May of 2016 of Clinical Pediatrics found that out of 22 labels on infant formula products, 13 of them made substantial claims about treating colic and gastrointestinal system without any type of supporting science or ingredients contained in the formula. So this is why I tell you guys the best option is breastfeeding. The second best option is raw certified goat's milk that we have in the Train Up Your Children in the Way They Should Eat book. That's the second best option. But if you are going to use formula, I highly suggest you really, really do some hardcore research. I don't mean looking some stuff up online. I'm talking about spending hours upon hours of digging down and finding what these guys are actually putting into these infant formulas, because a lot of these formulas that I found, they're all a bunch of byproducts with cheap synthetic fillers. They're literally pumping into them and saying they're great, awesome products, they're good for this, it fixes this, and then you look on the back and the first ingredient is corn syrup solids. I won't even feed my dogs food with anything that has corn in it. Why in the world am I going to feed my infant son something that the first ingredient is corn syrup solids? Most people feed their dogs, their hamsters, their rodents better food than that. So that's my take on that. It's my little rant. I just want to kind of wake everybody up because I haven't talked about that in a while. But even the FDA now is even admitting that these guys have gotten out of control with the ingredients they're putting in them and the claims they're putting on these infant formulas.
Hey, Austin, how many of those Train Up Your Children the Way They Should Eat books do we have left in inventory?
To be honest with you, I couldn't give you a direct number right now, but I haven't looked at the inventory in the back.
All right, I'm going to do something that I've never done before, and I'm not even going to put it on the website. You're going to have to call the office. If you want one of those, if you want one of those books, you can have it for $5. It's like a $25 book. You have it for $5, and that's our, basically our get our cost out of it. And basically, this is only going to be for like to the end of this week. What's the date today? Today's August.
Today's the 14th.
September the 14th through this weekend. And we can put it on the website. We'll send an email out to it, and it will only while supplies last. It has a full infant formula in there as far as how you use the raw certified goat's milk and what you have to add to it, because it is not a formula that you have to add stuff to the goat's milk, including vitamin E. There's certain things it doesn't have enough of, so I don't recommend by itself, but you have to add it. You have to basically add some things to it, and it's in that book. And so we'll make that five.
What I'll do is I'll put it on the website. I won't promote it because I don't know how many we have in stock, but I'll list it on the website. If you go under our books and articles on the website, I'll list it as $5 right now through the weekend, and people can go on there and check that out.
Well, and I'm not going to promote it. Then we won't send an email out. So if you guys are listening to the show, you'll know about it. Otherwise, you won't know about it because we don't have that many of those left anyhow.
No.
And so it's Train Up Your Children in the Way They Should Eat, the name of the book. And it's phenomenal. And my wife wrote it, and it's got the best goat's milk formula in there, period. By the way, let me go ahead and do one more article here on health. The militarization of the Zika, money, quarantine, and power. Green Meadow Info. And yet another end-round play by Obama administration. On Friday, on Labor Day weekend, it was announced $300 million, a third of $1 billion, in public health emergency funding was earmarked for Japan's Takeda to manufacture a new Zika vaccine. I don't even know what to say about this. There's no need for this. And he goes on to say, no need for Congress to vote on the appropriation. An executive order did the trick. When can he fund stuff with executive orders like that? The Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, which is helping the FDA screen donated blood against the Zika virus, was the agency from where President Obama found the $300 million in emergency funds to execute the backdoor deal. By offshoring the vaccine, there'll be zero congressional oversight, while no U.S. media outlet or lawyer group will be able to discover, by invoking the FOIA request, what will be injected into that rushed Zika vaccine made in Japan, no one will know. Even more perplexing, five days earlier, when Florida State University, go Seminoles, my alma mater, graduated there three times, when Florida State University, I got to say it twice, announced a breakthrough to combat mild African disease, the FSU scientists had discovered that an existing cheap, off-the-shelf remedy in a tapeworm antidote would suppress, if not cure, Zika in people who were sick enough to realize they even have it. But outside second-tier media outlets, the mainstream press didn't want to cover the solution that Zika discovered at Florida State University. This revolution became clear, also buried in mid-August. The CDC, via Department of Health and Human Services, rolled out a proposed time and rule change. The 88-page document, Control of Communicable Diseases, wants to grant the CDC full, we've covered this, super constitutional powers in the event of a quarantine that only the health agency can call. The document, notice of proposed rulemaking, is open for comment from the general public until after October the 14th. Lucky us. Guys, medical martial law is what they're talking about here. It's insane, okay? They're going to do something like this. It's going to be bacteria. It's going to be medical. It's going to be a financial breakdown, meltdown. Something's going to happen. But that's what they're planning on this. And I got a feeling it's all kind of predicated on what happens with this election. Guys, we love you. I appreciate you. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for coming by and see us when you're in town. I appreciate that, too. We pray for you guys all the time, every day. Folks that came over today actually prayed for us. I really appreciated that. Thank you. So just let us know if we can help you. Let us know if we can do anything for you. Hey, thanks for listening. You guys are really important to us. God bless you. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yes, absolutely, guys. Anytime, like you said, you guys need anything, give us a call. Email us, healthmasters.com. I went ahead and just threw that book on there for $5. It's under the books tab at the top of our website. If you guys are interested in it, click books, and it's on the second page of the Health Masters book. But I'm not going to put it on the email, not going to blast it at all, because like I said, I have no idea. I think I only have a couple cases in the back, to my knowledge. So we'll throw them on there for $5. That's cheap enough to get our cost out of them. And if you want to order them for a family member or a friend about trying to get their diet right, trying to get their children's diet right, trying to get some decent food in their infant besides some of these corn syrup solid formulas, please do so. It would be really helpful to a lot of people. There's a ton of good information in that book. We sold a lot of them. They're very, very popular. But yes, guys, we appreciate everything. If you need anything, absolutely, you know where to give us a call. The product of the week on here will be going the potassium iodide. That'll be getting updated here shortly. So if you guys are wanting to stock up on that, it should be a pretty good discount. That'll go to the middle of next week. So anything, guys, we thank you so much for the support. We thank you for the emails. We thank you for the phone calls. If you need anything, you know how to get a hold of us. You guys have a blessed night. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.